This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Wednesday's headlines. And while President Obama signed the health care reform package into law more than 2 weeks ago now, more and more provisions are popping to the surface and are causing many people quite a few headaches. Three more just in the past couple of days, beginning with a major one for the states. Already state officials across the nation were scratching their heads trying to figure out how they could possibly afford to add 16 million people to the Medicaid rolls over the next few years when they're struggling to meet that budget burden already. Now, additional language from the bill has surfaced, which puts even more pressure on the states. In addition to being forced through the Medicaid program to pay for much of the care received by the poorest residents in the state, now they actually have to make sure that that care is being received. That's, of course, because many doctors are refusing to see Medicaid patients because their reimbursement is far below the cost to see and to treat those patients. Grace Marie Turner is president of the Galen Institute, located just outside the nation's capital, and she says this is a major problem for the states because they could be facing major lawsuits.
If somebody calls up a neurologist or a pediatrician and that doctor says that I can't take any more Medicaid patients, I lose money on everyone I see, my practice is full, the state could be sued. And the doctor, who knows, the doctor may be able to be sued as well.
Another major issue is apparently patient confusion about when the major provisions for the health care package kick in and how much it will cost them. According to a report from McClatchy News, many people are calling up doctors, hospitals, insurance companies, and the like, asking how they can sign up, quote-unquote, for this free Obamacare. Grace Marie Turner says people are going to be in for a rude awakening. It's not free, and it's not available for years.
Most of them are going to be obligated to pay a huge, huge cost for this new mandated coverage. So people are in for a rude awakening, but there is a great feeling that they felt that this was going to be a new entitlement, and they're not at all happy when they're told, oh, I'm sorry that not only is it not going to be free, but it doesn't take effect until 2014, 4 years from now.
Republicans have already said they plan to make health care a major issue in the midterm elections. Repeal and replace is their battle cry, of course, and now they have one more arrow in their quiver. That's because the Congressional Research Service has confirmed what Republicans had tried to say in the latter days of the debate, that this legislation does, in fact, mandate taxpayer dollars to be used for the purchase of erectile dysfunction drugs for convicted sex offenders. We're not making this up. And Senate Republicans tried to pass an amendment to the reconciliation bill that would strip that language. But because Democrats didn't want to alter the bill in any way and pass it as the House passed it, they rejected that amendment. Grace Marie Turner says it's going to be hard to defend that kind of vote come November.
And the worst part is that during the debate on the Senate floor, the Republicans offered an amendment to eliminate the funding of erectile dysfunction medications for sex offenders, and it was voted down. I mean, how is anybody going to go back to their districts and defend that vote?
One other major domestic issue hitting the headlines today from the Obama administration, and that's from former Fed Chief Paul Volcker, who is a key economic advisor to President Obama. He says tax increases are likely on the way if the U.S. is ever going to hope to get the deficit under control. Volcker is advocating a number of things. First of all, saying that those who are making north of $200,000 a year as an individual or $250,000 a year as a couple are definitely going to see tax increases, as President Obama promised on the campaign trail. He also says the U.S. should seriously consider a European-style value-added tax, known as a VAT by short. Volcker says this was not as toxic as an idea as it has been in the past. He also says we could be looking at carbon or other energy-related taxes to bring deficits under control and get entitlement spending under control in that process as well. We will endeavor to have much more analysis of that proposal later in the week. Meanwhile, the Obama administration today once again trying to change the rhetoric as it describes who we're fighting and what the threat is to U.S. national security. Months ago, the administration changed the term war on terrorism to overseas contingency and terrorist attack to man-made disaster. Now it is forbidding the use of the term Islamic radicalism. According to the administration, it puts a face of terrorism on all Muslim nations. But in my conversation earlier today with former Pentagon official KT McFarland, she says changing the lingo isn't going to change anything about the people we're trying to kill.
Well, I'm not sure why they're doing it other than some sense that maybe if we're nicer to people, they'll be nicer to us, or somehow they're not going to think of us as an enemy. I don't think that any terrorist organization hearing that we've changed what we call them is going to suddenly have an epiphany and decide that they no longer want to send suicide bombers out to kill us.
McFarland, who served in the Pentagon during the Reagan administration and also worked for Presidents Nixon and Ford, also commented on the situation in Afghanistan as the Obama administration becomes more concerned about the stability of Afghan President Hamid Karzai, who has reportedly threatened in recent days that he will join the Taliban and consider the American forces occupiers that need to be removed. A Karzai spokesman has since said that that comment was never made, but Karzai is clearly none too pleased with what he sees as America's heavy-handedness and demands that he root out government corruption. The White House now publicly questioning whether it should still hold a May 12th meeting between Obama and Karzai at the White House. But regardless of what happens with that meeting, KT McFarland says that the U.S. has a problem, and that problem is named Hamid Karzai.
Well, the administration has put all of its eggs in the Karzai basket. I think our military will perform brilliantly. We will clean out the Taliban. We cleaned out Marja. We will clean out Kandahar. But the question is, what do you turn over that government to? Do you turn it over to President Karzai, who has proven to be both corrupt and incompetent? The administration has put all of its eggs in that basket, and now I think they're having second thoughts.
To hear my complete interview with KT McFarland, as well as my full interview with Grace Marie Turner, head to worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. While you're there, you can also hear the interview from today I did with Reza Khalili. That's a pseudonym. He is a former member of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard who worked for many years as a spy for the CIA while still with the Revolutionary Guard. He made that move after he was appalled by what the Islamic Revolution had actually done to Iran. His book is called A Time to Betray, and again, that's at worldnetdaily.com and dateline.radioamerica.org. Quickly on one other story, the waiting game continues in Montcoal, West Virginia, as experts try to make sure that the conditions are safe for rescue workers to go in to the Upper Big Branch mine in order to try and find those four missing miners. 25 people confirmed dead Monday in a massive methane explosion there. Again, four still missing. At this point, there's been no contact with any other miners inside, and officials there consider it very unlikely that they are still alive. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.